keep dreaming, because dreaming, yeah, dreaming is what God gave us when, as a person, you know. So you have to develop that dream and try to be behind those dreams. And no matter what happened, no matter the situation, you have to try to get into it, you know.
So I am now on the line with a Mr. Carlos Suarez, aka Casu, who is a professional dancer, performer, choreographer, instructor, as well as a percussionist.
That's right.
You are currently living in Houston, Texas, but you were born in Caracas, Venezuela. Is all that correct?
That's correct.
Hey, how are you doing today, Carlos?
I'm fine. I'm fine. A little bit tired because I've been doing a lot of things, a lot of classes. The project's always in my mind, and that's kind of tiring that it's at some point, you know, because you need to rest and your mind is still working. So that's where, that's actually the normal artist mind.
I understand that, man. I definitely understand that. And I know things are kind of crazy for you as well because of, you know, everything that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, it is.
I guess first off, though, you know, I really want to thank you, Carlos, man, for taking time actually to talk to me, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no. Thank you. Thank you for having me in your list. You know, I mean, I think that you have a very long list.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Cool. What's your name, by the way?
Oh, my name is Terrence.
Terrence? Nice. So you're from the United States and you're living in Guam?
That is correct. Yes, sir. From the U.S., living in Guam. I've been in Guam for maybe 2 months now.
Oh, okay. So how come you're so far away from here?
Oh, man, I'm in the military.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yes, sir.
So how is the living there?
How is it, man? This is my first time living on an island, so it's different. But they got some beautiful beaches, beautiful water, man. Yeah. I enjoy it, man. It's everyone here is just nice. Everyone here is just so nice, man. So it's kind of different for me.
But still, Guam is an island that it's part from it's United States still, right?
Exactly. It's a U.S. territory. That is correct.
Oh, okay.
It's the farthest U.S. territory.
Oh, so, yeah. It is.
It's about a 19-hour plane ride.
Okay, cool. And you're living there by yourself?
So, yeah, I got my girlfriend coming out in about a week. She's coming out soon. She's from Puerto Rico.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. You must be happy.
Yeah, she's super excited. She's super excited, man. But, yeah, I didn't call you, man, to talk about me, man. You know, you are the star of the show, bro.
I think... like to get a feedback from you, too.
Okay. All right, for sure, bro. I think a great way to start this out, man, is, you know, I would love to hear about your childhood growing up in Venezuela, man. What was that like for you?
Well, that's actually a very good question. You know why? Because my childhood is not the way I thought it was going to be now, you know, because I didn't know that it was going to be an artist. I mean, a dancer, for example. I knew that I wanted to be a musician, an artist, but not a dancer. Actually, this is a very funny story because I always told to my mom that I wanted to be an astronaut and worked with the NASA and all that kind of things. And my mom, or either be an astronaut or work as an artist, as a musician. And travel all around the world and all that kind of things. And my mom took me to one of the best musicians in the area I was living in, and I just started the music, percussion and all that kind of things. And well, after that, I studied percussion for a few years, and then I stopped because of my primary school, and then I had to stop it, as I told you, and I started to play soccer, and I started to grow up in the soccer, and I was actually about to be a professional soccer player. And my older brother took me to the dance scene in a dance school that I was that he was dancing at, and that's her. The name of the studio is Imagen Latina from Caracas, Venezuela. It's a very known dance school, and I started to dance and play soccer at the same time. And yes, I stayed like that like 1 year, and then I just fell in love with the dance, and I started to realize that dance is what I wanted to be, like dancer. And well, I started to work a lot at the studio, and now I'm a dancer, you know. So that's So that's part of of my childhood. Yeah. Full of and yeah, full of music, full of art, full of dance, full of yeah. Actually, yeah, always in the soccer or always something to follow.
Understand that. That's amazing, bro. I'm curious, man. You say, you fell in love with dance at an early age, man. How important was music in your childhood?
Well, as I told you, I was always surrounded by music because my aunt and my mom and my part of my family, they were dancers, they were musicians, they were singers. My stepdad, who raised me up, is a percussionist too. So that's why it was like very important for me, and I started to I from the beginning I that was my first love. Was the music, and so that's why the music was very very important for me. And music is now, I think like the all the things that I've been achieving is because of the music, first of all. Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful, man. Tell me about Venezuela, man. I've never had a chance to visit there. What was that like? What was Venezuela like growing up for you?
Well, for me, Venezuela, growing up in that country was beautiful. You know why? Because I wasn't rich, to be honest. I wasn't like in a very wealthy family. So my family at some point struggled a lot to give me my stuff, to give me education, to give me all the things we must have in the childhood and when we grow up. And being or living in Venezuela for me was a very good experience, and it took me or yeah, it was like a school, you know. It was like a school because there is a lot of things like it's very different for example, United States or Europe, or you know, the system is different. So you have to always be on the floor, like your head here, your feet on the floor, because the reality is different. So your dreams, you need to work on them, like by yourself. Like depending on you are going to get your dreams and your results. It's not that easy as in us, for example, in United States or Europe or Australia, that a lot of people can support you. So now in my country or right there in South America, you have to fight for your dreams. So that's why Venezuela is at the beginning. But when I was living there, not a lot of political problems by the time, so it was easier for me, you know. But nowadays it's a little bit harder because of the you maybe you already know the situation in Venezuela, the politics situation, that it's very very complicated for the people there to get money, to get a lot of things. And inside of that, the dreams, because you know we are full of dreams, but all the problems is going it's actually kind of it stops you to get those dreams.
I understand, man.
Yeah.
I'm curious, man.
I want a toy truck. What? But Santa Claus. Oh, hold on 1 second, Santa Claus. I'll be right back. Hey, if you could leave a like and subscribe for the show, that would be amazing. Let's get back to the episode.
Yeah. I'm curious, man. I don't know if you could put this into words, but how do you think growing up in Venezuela, how do you think that affected the person who you are today?
Well, I wouldn't call it like it affect me. I would call it like it teached me, or yeah, I learned from it. Like, as I told you, I've been learning from my country from the moment I started to realize that I was in that country, I was in the school, I was in the system. So for me, as I told you, you have to fight for your stuff. And you, for example, in my country, the theme or the word bullying doesn't exist in my country. It doesn't exist. So if a person is black. If a person is white. So they can call you, hello, negro, ¿cómo estás? And that's absolutely normal. So that person who is being called negro, that person is not going to be offended at all. Or if the person is a little bit chubby or fat, they're going to call him, hey, gordo, ven acá, hey, gordito, and nothing is going to happen, and so on. So you can have a lot of nicknames, and nothing is going to happen. So even that, in that beautiful way or in a bad way, so you have to realize that they are calling you that just because of something. And like, this is your life. So the life in Venezuela is going to hit you in the front in order to watch the very truth of it. So that's why Venezuela taught me a lot of things.
Okay. Yeah. I'm curious, man. I don't know if you have any kids, but, you know, if given the option, would you raise your family? Would you start your family in Venezuela or in the U.S.?
No. Not in Venezuela, no. Nowadays, I would like to raise my kids and all that kind of things in another country. Actually, I would prefer to do it in Europe. Yeah, because I'm coming from Europe. Like, I've been living in Europe the last 5 years. And the life there, the quality of life, it's very high, depending on the things you are doing or depending on the things you are moving on. But I really like the life in Europe because the quality is high, the culture is high, the people read, the people walk, the people, you know, they communicate to each other, and I've been getting in that detail. You know why? Because I've been here in the United States a lot of times, and now I lived here in the United States in 2012, like 8 years ago. And now in 2020, I'm living again here, you know? So, but anyway, I'm living here just because of work. But the thing is, like, I've been realizing that the people here, it's not because of this country is bad or something. It's just, for me, I prefer to raise my kids or have a family right there. I would do it here too, but if I have the chance to get a choice, I would go there.
I completely understand that, man. I definitely understand that. I believe you were, well, we'll get into it. So, you know, you're growing up in Caracas. You are an aspiring dancer and everything, man. I guess I'm curious, when do you leave Caracas?
When? Actually, I left in 2012. Yeah, when I decided to go away, like to leave abroad, it was in 2012. But before that, I started to go out since 2007. I started to go out of my country with this company I was dancing with. And I was the first dancer or the main dancer. Like they call it the el primer bailarín, but it's the main dancer. And I started to travel with them all around the world in a lot of countries in 2007. So from 2007 to 2011, let's say, I was working with them. Not even, because I started, for 3 years consecutively, I was traveling with them. And then in 2000, yeah, and in the middle of 2010, I left them. I left the company in order to make my own path, let's say.
Okay. So you graduate high school, right? And then you join this dance company, you start dancing for a while, and then you decide to, spread your wings and move out. And so you said 2012 is when you moved from South America to North America, correct?
Sorry, can you repeat?
So I said in 2012 is when you said you moved from Venezuela to the US.
Yeah, that's
And
right.
where'd you move to?
Where? I moved
Yeah.
to Miami first, and then I went to LA, Los
And
Angeles.
so tell me about this, man. I'm very curious to hear from you, man. What was it like leaving, your home country, man, moving to a completely new country, a completely new city, a place where, and they speak Spanish in Miami, but they're speaking English as well. What was
Yeah.
that whole experience like for you?
Yeah, actually the first time I started to live out of my country, it was kind of hard because I wasn't, well, it's hard to say, but I wasn't prepared at all because actually I didn't even know how to cook, bro. And it was hard for me because I needed my mom by the time, like, oh my God, now how I'm gonna do? Like I started to be aware of the situation, and I needed to know how to cook. I needed to know how to manage my stuff, my balance, my economy, my everything, So that was kind of hard. Even though I was a friend that I was, that he was helping me or I was working with him, but still I was alone, But it was hard. It was hard, but I still, it wasn't like for me, I was, as I told you, I started to travel outside of the country since I was like 17 or 18. So by the time when I decided to move and leave out of my country, I was like kind of ready in mentally to go there and stay there, but not because of the situation, And what I'm telling you now is like not being ready or not knowing how to cook and not knowing how to do a lot of things doesn't mean that I wasn't ready mentally to be there, It doesn't, I mean, that situation that I didn't know how to manage some stuff that I have to do or that I was supposed to do didn't stop me, but I mean, didn't stop me to dream, like, okay, let's continue. And actually that situation has stayed until today. Like, I'm always dreaming. Like, as I told you from the beginning, when I was in Venezuela, in Caracas, I always watched myself. I always saw myself living in another country, creating stuff, doing amazing things. Like, I always dream very, very high, Even though with the music, even though with the dance, or even though with the sport.
That's impressive, man. What was it like moving to Miami, man? You have this, I can tell you have like this hustler's mentality. You got to get it. I can tell that, man, coming from where you come from, man. What was it like moving to Miami for you, man? And did you speak English at that time?
Yes, I did. It wasn't that the level wasn't that high, but I did. Yeah, I did. I did.
And so, tell me about, Miami, that first year you moved there. What was that like for you?
Well, it was good. I did enjoy it. I was working in a club called Mangos in the Ocean Drive. I don't know if you have been there. It's very, very popular zone. It's just in front of the sea, of the beach. Yeah, I was working there. I remember that I was working 4 days per week, and I had 3 days free. So all those 3 days, I was in the beach. I was enjoying myself, and I met a lot of people there. I really enjoy it.
That's wonderful, man. That's wonderful. And then, so how long do you stay in Miami?
I stayed there like 3 or 4 months, and then I moved to Los Angeles.
Okay, and I'm curious, what made you want to move to LA?
Yeah, because of work too. I was working at that disco club called Mangos, and then I moved there. And because of I had a girlfriend that she was supposed to go to LA to work with that company, and she invited me to work with them too. So she spoke with the owner and she did the arrangement, and I got to work with them. So I moved to Los Angeles and I stayed there like 3 months as well.
And you said, okay, and tell me about LA, man. You know, what did you think about LA?
I love it. Actually, I love LA. Yeah, I love LA. I really, really like it. I mean, the life, the people, it's different. It's kind of different, but I like it. Miami and LA are both are very different.
Of course, man. And so, you know, you're moving, you know, you moved to the States, man. Are you still able to, you know, pursue your dancing career or your dancing love at this time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You know, I'm always, as I told you when we started to speak, like, I'm a little bit tired because I've been thinking in my project and I've been trying to sleep and my mind doesn't stop to work. So that's actually the answer. I'm always behind my dreams, as you said. So I'm still here fighting for my dream, fighting for my project, and fighting to be the best person every single day.
Okay, man. So you're very much, you know, goal driven, man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of spoke on it, man. So please, let's talk about this project you're speaking of. Well, what is this project you have?
Well, my projects, I have a lot. I have a lot, but I would like to have my own dance company. My own dance company. I don't know if I will do it here in the United States or in another country or in another city, but I would like to. I would like to have my own recording studio, I mean music studio. So I would like to have a very good brand in order to sell it to all worldwide. I would like to represent my country dancing in a lot of congresses that I've been doing that since many years ago. But I would like to do that, like to represent my country with my dance partner. Now I have another project with a dance partner that I haven't done that much things with her because of the COVID-19 and all that kind of things, that all the congresses are closed, as you already know, and a lot of things are closed. But while I'm now working with her, I'm practicing with her, I'm doing a lot of rehearsals in order to, when everything is open, so we can go and eat the world.
So, I mean, I'm very curious, man. You know, you kind of spoke on it already, man, but, you know, how has this whole COVID-19 situation, how has this affected you, man?
Well, like, COVID-19 is affecting us all. Like, yeah, all the whole economy, it's affected. Unless you are a billionaire or millionaire, so maybe you are not that affected, but still. But for me personally, it's been, well, it hasn't been that bad because I've been working here at my home with my students. I'm actually living in Houston and I've been teaching the people in Italy, for example. So I'm still working worldwide from my computer, you know, but still, like, you now don't have the contact with the people, so you cannot go to the room, to the dance classes, and that's kind of weird. Like, from, they are moving you, then, you know. But I think that, as I told you a little while ago, like, it hasn't affected me. Instead of, now is it taught me this situation with the COVID-19, it taught me a lot of things, like being in these four walls, like sharing with my girlfriend and sharing with my dog and being here with my family. I've been learning a lot of things, like to be patient, to meditate, to know myself, to, you know, to understand a lot of things that I can understand, for example. But COVID-19 for me, it's like, okay, a very good lesson, life lesson. And at the same time, of course, it affect me in some ways, you know, economically and other ways too.
I understand that, man. It's affected us all, so I definitely understand that. Is dancing, you know, your full time occupation? Are you a, you know, is that your job? In, are you a dancer full time?
Yeah, that's, I'm a dancer full time.
That is super impressive, man. That's amazing.
It's not easy, but you can do it. Yeah,
that's what I know. It's not easy. I know it can be very difficult at times, man. I want to ask you this. Can you tell me, you know, what are some things people may not know about, you know, the life of a full-time dancer?
Well, actually, that's a very good question. You know why? Because a lot of people, they don't know. They don't really know what it's dancer, a life dancer like, you know, because you have to struggle with a lot of things, a lot of things, as I told you. Like, you have to create your stuff, you have to create your own content, you have to create your brand, you have to go and knock the doors every single day. So it's kind of hard. So they maybe think that dance is just for fun, but you can, with dance and with the art, you can do a very, very good things and great things, but you have to work a lot. You have to work a lot. It's like when you study a lot on, I don't know, another stuff like accountancy or, I don't know, mechanic or something like that. But you have to keep and be always on the line, you know, and try to get focused on it. But yeah, that's the point. Like, a lot of people, they don't know all the things we have to do or a dancer have to do to get a goal, to get that medal.
I know it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work.
Do you dance?
Oh, definitely, man. Definitely. So that's what I want to ask you. I have, I do like more so partner dances.
Okay.
So, like salsa, bachata.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But so yeah, tell me, what is your background? And we haven't even spoke on that.
Well, my background in dance is Latin rhythms. I have to say that, like, salsero, 100%. But the thing is, like, since I've been studying dance, I've been doing a lot of things like jazz, hip-hop, hip-hop, contemporary dance, tap, a lot of things. So I love to dance everything, 100% everything. But my strength is the salsa, is the Latin rhythms. Actually, I've been dancing in a very good festivals that doesn't have to do with the salsa.
Okay, that's amazing, bro. That's amazing. The videos I saw of you, you know, it was more so, you know, there's the Latin rhythms with you freestyling and everything.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, man. You know, you have such. Sorry about that.
Right.
You have this background in so many different dance styles. Can you tell me, I guess, you know, are there any benefits to having, just having so many different dance styles in your repertoire?
Yeah. I understand. That's a nice question, you know, because for me, having that background in another styles or in another rhythms made me the dancer I am now, right now, or nowadays, let's say. You know why? Because I'm able to dance. I can dance whatever I want if I work on it. Like, maybe the only thing I'm not able to dance properly is break dance, because now my body doesn't allow me. I'm not a kid. I used to do it when I was a child, but not anymore. Or let's say a professional ballet recital, for example. But otherwise, I can do a very, it's very big, the things that I can do, because I have the background to do many things on the dance. So that's very good. For example, when I'm dancing salsa, I can manage it to mix it with another, with a lot of things, like to do a fusion, let's say. So actually, that's my style. My style starts in a fusion, you know, always respecting the line and always having the borders in to being respectful for in the dance. I'm in the dance or in the things I'm doing. But always mixing and fusion a lot of things, technique, names, coordination, and rhythm, a lot of things.
I understand that, man. I definitely understand that. A lot of, and I talk to a lot of dancers and instructors, man, and they say, you know, a way to get better is to learn a different dance style.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it helps you pull something else. You know, you get, you improve your repertoire, you know, of things you're able to do. So I definitely understand that. And I definitely see the benefits to it, man.
That's right.
I'm curious, man. Tell me, when did you first start teaching? Talk to me about that.
Well, and this is the first time actually in an interview, someone asked me about that, but that's cool though. I started to teach when I was 17. I started to dance when I was 15. But 2 years later, my teacher and the owner of the dance school I was working with, they gave me the opportunity to teach when I was 17. So now I'm 32. So it's been 15 years that I've been teaching. And every single day that I teach, I always learn. I always try to do different stuff. I always try to create in order to be in a fresh. Like, because dance is like medicine. Always new things are coming. Always new things you have to learn. Always new things, always new dancers you have to learn from. So that's cool. But the real question, the real answer for that is like, I've been teaching for 15 years now. Actually, I made a post a few weeks ago that I was very happy because in this year, 2020, I achieved my 15 years in the teaching area.
That's amazing. And 15 years of teaching shows that you've grasped a lot of concepts and, you know, you've learned a lot of things, man. So let me ask you this. I'm very curious to hear from you. In your opinion, what makes for an effective teacher?
In my opinion, what? Can you repeat it? What?
Yeah. You know, what makes
okay
for an effective teacher? Okay. What is a good teacher?
Yeah. Well, the good teacher, that's a good, actually, a lot of good question, bro. And what makes a very good teacher? For me, what makes a very good teacher is listening to the students first. Watch them. What are their strengths and what are their weakness? Being aware that they are coming to you to learn, to have fun, and get rid of the stress. So it's very hard and complicated at the same time because you as teacher, you need to push them in order to make their level in a higher position. But at the same time, you cannot stress them up, you know? So that's what makes a very good teacher, you know? To pay attention to the students. And actually, when you are in a choreography, when you're doing a choreography, or when you are a choreographer, you need to make them shine. Yeah, to make them make them believe them in their selves and grew up, you know, in a dance scene. That's what I mean. But that's my answer for that. Like, paying attention to them, like make them believe in themselves and actually give them a little bit of joy.
I understand that. And I think that's very true, man.
Yeah. I've been in a lot of countries and I've been taking a lot of classes, and you say, wow, I would like to learn from this guy or from that girl. But when you get into that room, like, you get disappointed, you know, because of the way they explain or the way they speak, that is not motivational. It's not, it doesn't get to you. For example, dance is a language. I call it like a body language for me. So when the body speaks, so you can reflect on it, you can reflect on the dance, your feelings. If you're happy, if you're sad, if you are frustrated, if you are releasing or getting rid of stress. So that's why when a teacher gets you into the room, you need to, as a choreographer or a teacher, you need to get them the things or the tools in order to make them happy, in order to make them grow up to believe in themselves and be the star and believe in themselves. Otherwise, their body language is not going to come, it's going to come blurred.
That's super true, man. You know, not every good dancer is a good teacher, correct?
That's right.
And not every good teacher is a good dancer. So, yeah. So I definitely.
It's hard. That. Yeah, it's hard to be a dancer, teacher, and choreographer too, for example, because there are a lot of very good dancers, but they are not good teachers. Sorry. Or in vice versa, they are a very good teacher, but they are not good dancers, or they are very good choreographers, but they don't perform well, and so on. So it's very hard to get those 3 points. You have to study a lot. Like people, they don't ask. Actually, this part of the questions you already asked a little while ago. Like people doesn't know that we have to study a lot. Our body, our way to communicate. That's a very hard way to express, you know, when all through the years, you need to realize how you are going to talk to the world with your body, if you are a dancer, of course.
That's true, man. You kind of brought up something that I want to speak about, man. That, you know, I feel like maybe not a lot of people know about. So, you know, you are, you know, a full-time dancer. This is how you make your money. This is your livelihood, man.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, you know, how physically demanding this is. And then what I mean is, you know, you could probably classify yourself as like an athlete, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so talk to me about that, man. That's probably something a lot of people may not know about.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about how physically my career is. Like, it's very, very demanding, because you need to be aware of the things you are going to be doing. You know, for example, if you start eating improperly, you are going to get fat. I mean, you are going to gain weight. And you are not going to be as fast as you were at some point. And then it's going to be hard for you to breathe between the dances. And it's going to be hard for you to express the things you are going to do. So you are going to move slower. So you are going to be tired. You are going to be in another level. So as I told you, the competition or live dancer is very hard, because every single day is a new stuff. Every single month, it's a new style. So you have to discover a lot of things. And if you forget about your own body, like if you stop training your body, it's going to affect you in your career. For example, I've been training my whole life. Like you have to like treat your body like if it was a Lamborghini or something like that. You have to be very, very patient with it. You have to feed it very well. You have to sleep the hours you are supposed to. You have to go to the gym. You have to do a lot of things. And you have to get checked in the medical systems and all that kind of things. But it's very demanding. It's very demanding. When you do 3 or 4 hours straight, it's like 8 hours of a person that it's only going to the office. only 3 hours of our work in a class, in a dance class, it means, or it's the same that a person go into to an office.
I understand that, man. I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
It can be very taxing, you know, very on the body, man. So I understand that, bro. Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick, man. Can you tell me what are some lessons that you've learned from dancing that you're able to translate to your everyday life?
Okay, but lessons in what sense?
You know, what are some things that you've learned from dancing that you're able to use in your life?
Okay, well, I've been learning from dance, as I told you, how to communicate, how to understand, how to be patient with the people, and how to understand their needs. And I always try to be, I learned how to manage my energy to give it to them, you know, because they need my energy. They need my vibes. So that's what I learned. I learned how to talk to the people, how to get a smile, how to get a laugh of them, like how to watch them happy. Like, okay, you are my client and I'm going to teach you, but at the same time, you're going to have fun here with me, and we are going to be in a different vibe stuff, you know, we are going to create it. We are going to create a bubble, and inside of that bubble, we are going to be injecting it a lot of positive things. It's not only mechanic and all that kind of things. Actually, when I'm teaching, I always forget that's my job, that I have to work, that I have to charge for it, that I have to pay, or that someone has to pay me. No, I really, 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 and I swear that I forget it. Like, I completely forget that that's my job. It's just because I love it, and I just give my lessons and my classes with my heart in order to make them happy. And actually, in all these years, they felt it. Like, they really felt it. Like, I've been living in, nowadays, this is my sixth country that I've been living in, and all my students, they, thank God, they remembered me, and they always text me, and they always say, thank you, I learned how to do this, how to do that, I started to believe in me, and that kind of things. So for me, that's what I learned from dance, how to communicate and how to give to the audience or to the students something else than dance.
I understand that, man. You brought up something else that I'm very curious to hear about, and I know a lot of people could benefit from this, man. But you know, you say, you know, you've been teaching in six different countries. Tell me how do you effectively market yourself? You know, advertise yourself as a dancer. You know, how do you go about getting new students, you know, and retaining your students? How do you go about that?
Well, that's actually another thing that people doesn't know or doesn't see about the dancer's life. You know why? Because as I told you, I've been living in almost six or seven countries. I've been living in every single country. You have to advertise and do the proposal of your own work. So you have to go by yourself and knock the doors and offer your work and offer you as a dancer with the best attitude or the best smile on your face, and try to make your biggest effort to give some work. But the thing that nowadays is easy to advertise yourself because of the social media. So now, back in the days, or back in the years, 2005, 2010, Instagram or something, these kind of things didn't exist at all. And, oh, well, maybe they did. Facebook was already, but it was kind of now it's not like very trendy like it is nowadays. So it was kind of hard. But the thing is, like, for me to advertise myself and make the all these kind of things, I always use my social media, and I always go to, if I'm going to a country, it's just because I already know that I'm going to work with someone. And so, you know, I'm not going to a country just because of that. You know, I always plan my stuff, and I go for it. And once I get in that country, okay, I start to move around and try to manage and do the advertising to myself.
Yeah, I understand that. I know that's a lot of work right there, man.
Yeah.
Being able to market yourself. Because if I'm not mistaken, man, you know, it's safe to say that you are, you know, an entrepreneur, correct?
Sorry?
You're running. I said it's safe to say that, you know, you're running your own business.
That's right.
You're an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Definitely, man. So let me ask you this, man. I want to, you know, give some advice to some dancers out there, man. So I want to ask you, you know, some dance related questions, okay?
Okay.
Definitely, man. So for someone who is, you know, a beginner and maybe, you know, salsa or, you know, hip hop, whatever it may be, man, you know, they're a beginner and they feel like they're not getting better, that they're stuck in this rut. What advice, what words of wisdom could you give that person?
Okay. Actually, at the beginning, when someone realizes that the improvement or their improvements are not getting better or the level is not getting better, that's a good sign. That's the first good sign. You know why? Because when a person realizes that something in the stuff they are doing is not well, it's just because they already realized. And as I told you, that's a very good sign, because they need to change stuff. For example, maybe it's the teacher. There's a lot of teachers that, unfortunately, they are not giving the students the information that they need, you know? This is like studying languages. That's why a lot of people, when they start studying, I don't know, French, English, German, Portuguese, they start studying the language, and 3 months later or 4 months later, they just quit. It's just because of the teachers. They don't give them the correct information in order to start speaking. Like, they need to speak. So that's actually what happens in dance too. A lot of people, they are just dancing with I don't know, many teachers, and they just care about money. You know, that's what we were talking about a little while ago. They just care about money, and they don't teach them the fundamentals, all the basic steps, all the story, all the culture, salsa or Latin rhythms or whatever the dance is. They don't teach them. They don't really teach them how to get that, how to manage all that information and get into your body in order to improve your skills in dance. So at the beginning, I think that they need to realize or to study the possibility to change the teacher. Or if it's not the teacher, they need to practice a little bit more. Because maybe the teacher is excellent, but if the student doesn't practice at home or doesn't get the chance to practice a little bit more the lessons that they are having, it's gonna be hard for them to level up, you know. So that's two points that they are going to be very important. They have to, for example, in salsa, if they feel that the level is not getting higher, it's just because they need practice, they need to study, they need to listen to the music. For example, to understand the salsa, you need to listen to it. Like listen in a salsa, and listen to bachata, and listen to merengue, listen to reggaeton, to a lot of things. Like if you want to be a hip hop dancer, you need to get into that scene, you need to get into that wall, you need to create that, you know? Otherwise, it's going to be hard. So three stuff already. You need to see if the teacher is teaching you properly. You need to watch, or you need to realize if you are giving yourself a time to improve yourself. And the third one, you need to study more on the dance you are dancing.
All those points are very valid and very true, man. Very, very true. Let me ask you the continuation to that question. For someone who is an intermediate dancer and they want to get to that advanced level, what does it take for them?
Okay, now the thing is getting in a thinner line. You know why? Because they need to invest. At the beginning, they need to invest going to a congresses, paying private classes, paying international teachers, trying to travel out of the country they are living in order to learn, in order to improve. I know it's hard because you need to, but a lot of people, they need to do that. If you are in an intermediate level, and if you want to get or level up your level, you need to invest it. I mean, you need to study even more. This is not the beginner level we were talking about a little while ago. Now it's the intermediate, from intermediate to a higher level. You know, you need to put it in a thinner level, in a thinner line in order to get there, you know? So that's what I think. Like, they need to invest more. They need to get focused on it. Like, put it like this. It was like this before, and now it's going to be like this, and now go on it.
Okay, I understand that, man. That's definitely true. When I say the word musicality, what does that mean to you?
Well, musicality for me is everything, actually. You nailed it. Musicality for me is everything, because when a music is on, I can realize a lot of things. So I can dream. I can be happy, I can be sad, I can feel a lot of things on the music, and I can interpret it through the musicality, you know. And when I'm doing that, it's like an expression, it's like a language as well. So musicality for me is another stuff, is like instruments. It's like pure music, you know, the way you organize the music, the way you give them a story, you know, in a music or in a choreography. When you are listening to a salsa, the salsa doesn't start with the ending part. The salsa starts with the start, with the beginning, and it's going to continue with a story, you know, and all the instruments are going to have a story, you know. It has a purpose in the music. So that's why you need to realize and listen to the music, and musicality is going to help you and improve your dance skills too. So studying some music instruments, or studying music, is going to improve in your dance skills, as I told you.
Yeah, musicality is super important, man. Yeah. And I believe musicality is what distinguishes you, is what separates you from the next dancer, correct?
Yeah. For example, me, I create a lesson that I call musicality, of course, but it's not the same musicality workshop the dancers nowadays are given to the people in all congresses all around the world. I just create this in order to make them understand the way the music changes, why the music changes from the 1 to 5 and vice versa, you know, how to understand why there are a lot of rhythms into the salsa. Salsa, when we say salsa, salsa means a lot of things together, a lot of things mixed, you know. So that's why I just split it. I just divide all that kind of things and explain it to them. So musicality all my musicality class are very they just that's what they say. They love it because I make them understand how the music is going on.
Let me ask you this, man. Final question for you, man. Can you give me one tip, one piece of advice that can make anyone a better dancer immediately?
Okay, good. Okay, for me, a tip for the people or dancers that they are trying to have their own way is just believe in themselves. Believe in themselves first and try to make their own path. You know why? Because copying or trying to do what others are doing, you're going to hit the wall, you know, because if you are trying to do the same thing that the other person is doing, maybe it's not going to be good for you, because all of us, we have a different kind of wall in our head. So if you are getting to the same path, you are going to get the same destiny. You know, if you get in a different way, and maybe this is actually one of the things I've been always thinking about myself. Like, it's for me, all my processes are they have been very slow, but at the same time, very. I've been learning a lot. I've been learning a lot because even though they have been very slow, at some point I get very frustrated because they are very slow. And I've seen that a lot of people that they don't study that much or they haven't done that much stuff, and they get those goals faster. But when you really get to get your own goals in a very hard way, the feeling you have, it's going to be so good. Like when you have it, when you get a new language, when you get a new student, when you get some successful project or something, it's going to be very good. So that's why I always say, I'm telling you that to your audience, like if you get a different path, you're going to get a different destiny. So try to fight, because this dancing is not hard, it's not easy, sorry, and you have to get your own stuff. So you have to think in a different way in order to make and create all other content, because dance, everybody dance, you know, everybody can dance, everybody can smile, everybody can move, you know, but doing properly and doing with the story or getting into that, you know. So that's why I'm telling you that people, they need to realize what they're doing and create their own.
Okay, I understand that, man. I definitely understand that. Let me, I wanna thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to me, man.
No, no, it's okay. Thank you for having me on your list, as I already told you.
Of course, man. Real quick, man, tell me this, you know, what are some of your upcoming events? Do you have anything that you want to plug to advertise?
Yeah, the thing is, like, because of the COVID-19, I can guarantee that, like, everything is changing. Actually, in the city of Houston now, a few weeks ago, they opened or reopened the stuff. And now, because of the cases have been increasing, they had to close it in a certain way. We were opening at 75%, and now they had to close it in at 25%. So that's kind of hard to say, okay, I'm gonna be in that festival or that. No, I can say that now. But as I always told to the people, like, if they follow me on the social media, I'm always telling them what I'm going to do, all the new projects and all that kind of things. But what I'm pretty sure is that when all the festivals all around the world open again, I'm going to be out there working, and you will realize that.
Hustling, man. I understand that. I definitely understand that. Tell me this, man. How can people reach out to you? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, they can get in contact with me with via Instagram, Kasu Carlos_@gmail.com. That's my Instagram account. Or Facebook, Carlos Suarez. That's my name. I have a page in Facebook and YouTube that it's called Casu Dance and Beats. So that's my Facebook page and YouTube page. Both are the same. So Casu Dance and Beats. And Instagram, Casu__. So you will see my face there. And on Facebook, Carlos Suarez. So those are my social media accounts.
Okay. Perfect, man. Like I said, Carlos, man, I want to thank you so much, man. I truly enjoyed this conversation with you.
Yeah, me too.
Before we close this up, man, is there any last words you want to share with the people before we end this episode?
Okay, cool. Well, for the people, I always say, like, keep dreaming. Keep dreaming, because dreaming is what God gave us as a person, you know? So you have to develop that dream and try to be behind those dreams. And no matter what happened, no matter the situation, you have to try to get into it. You know, I've been in a lot of bad situation as well, like everyone in other countries, but I had to be strong, and I had to continue my path, and I had to be behind my dreams. So that's what I'm telling to the people. Like, even though you are having a very bad time, try to be there. Try to have those feet on the floor and try to respect everyone, because everyone thinks in a different way, and try to manage your desire to get your own goals.
I like it. I think that is a wonderful way to wrap up this episode of the Two Left Feet podcast. I want to thank you so much, Carlos.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
No doubt,
brother. I really enjoy.
Hey, wonderful, man. Please enjoy the rest of your evening. All right, Carlos?
Goodbye. Have a good night.
Hey, take it easy.
That's all it is.
Hey everyone, if you made it this far to the end of the video, I want to thank you so much. My overall goal with making these interviews and these episodes is to give a voice to dancers, you know, to give them a platform to speak their story. So if this is of value to anyone, then that means the world to me. My overall goal is to give value to the dance community. So, if you find no value in this, then I urge you to please let me know where I can improve on. I truly want to, you know, just give value and content to the dance community. So, please let me know how I can improve, where I'm messing up, because to be 100% honest with you, I'm learning along the way as I do this. I truly am. So to be able to interact with, you know, the dance community, it means the world to me, because it gives me feedback and it lets me know, you know, what I'm doing right, where I can improve upon, you know, what I'm doing wrong, which I feel like may be more important. So please, if you all could comment and just let me know what you think, it means the world to me, because, you know, that feedback just helps me improve. So please comment as well, you know, please like and subscribe. That means a lot as well. But, you know, I want to say thank you so much for just watching this, because it means the world to me. You know, I want to take you on this journey of the Two Left Feet podcast. You know, I'm very excited for it. So, once again, thank you so much.